Hello, and welcome back to Surgery 101, the podcast series and app brought to you with the help of the Department of Surgery at the University of Alberta. If you want more information on Surgery 101, please go to our new website, surgery101.org, where you can learn all about the Surgery 101 app, Surgery 101 notes, and a lot of other cool features like our video episodes, which are all there waiting for free download. This is the final episode in our pre-Christmas series on inflammatory bowel disease. In previous episodes, we heard from Dr. Lana Bistritz about what inflammatory bowel disease is and how it's managed medically and with biological agents. And then I did some episodes on surgical approaches to inflammatory bowel disease and looking at surgery for Crohn's and then ulcerative colitis. This week, I'm going to finish off talking about surgery for ulcerative colitis by talking about the ileoanal pouch procedure. I'm going to describe what an ileoanal pouch is and what the indications for the surgery are. I'm going to describe what information and counselling a patient needs to receive before agreeing to undergo the surgery. And I'm going to talk about the functional outcomes of the operation as well. So let's get ready to wrap up IBD and look into the J pouch here on Surgery 101. So I want to take you back to the end of last episode where we talked about the patient who has their acute colitis. They end up getting a total abdominal colectomy done. We leave the rectum and the rectal stump in there, give them an end ileostomy. And they get better. They get off their steroids. They go home. They heal up. And they come back and see me in follow-up then, and I review the pathology with them. And it's all good. It shows ulcerative colitis. So the patients are getting better. All the excitement of the acute illness is over. But we still have a couple of problems. One is that the rectum is still in there, and we've got to deal with that at some point and get rid of it, partly because of disease activity, partly because of cancer risk, as discussed last week. The other thing is that nobody really likes having an ileostomy, especially if it's permanent. So the patient wants to know, is there some way that I can get rid of this bag? And that's where the ileoanal pouch procedure comes in. Now, some of the terminology can be slightly confusing here, so let's talk about some of the different terms that are used to describe the operation. So we're taking the rectum out, and then we're joining the ileum to the anus. And we're not just doing a straight anastomosis, we're turning the ileum back on itself and making it a little pouch. So it's called an ileoanal pouch anastomosis, or an ileoanal pouch procedure, IAPP. The other name for it is a restorative proctocolectomy. So again, the proctocolectomy is taking out the colon and the rectum together. And then the restorative part is making that ileal pouch and joining it up to the anus. So that's restorative proctocolectomy. The other term you may hear sometimes is the J pouch operation, because the ileum is turned back on itself in a kind of a J shape, and that's why it's called the J pouch. So those are the three common ways of referring to the operation: the ileoanal pouch procedure, the restorative proctocolectomy, and the J pouch. So how do you prepare your patient for this type of surgery? The most important thing is it's really only suitable for patients with ulcerative colitis. It doesn't work well in patients who have Crohn's disease. If you think about it, you'll understand why. You're going to take some small bowel, you're going to make a special pouch with it, and you're going to put it down where the rectum used to be and join it onto the anus. The trouble with doing that for someone who's got Crohn's disease is if the Crohn's comes back in that part of the ileum that the pouch is made of, then that's a real disaster, and you're probably going to have to go back and take the whole thing out again. We think the pouch failure rate, in other words, the rate of the pouch having to come back out, is at least 30%. In the presence of Crohn's disease, and that's the reason that in most countries in the world we don't do this operation if you have Crohn's. It is a rather complicated operation and it can take several hours. And there's usually multiple anastomotic lines. That means you need your patient to be in good condition at the time of the surgery. And that's generally why we don't do it when people are sick. We don't do it right at the time when they have their acute colitis. And we don't really want to do it when they're on medications like steroids because that impairs healing. And often I'll delay the operation for at least 6 months after their initial surgery to give them time to recover and to get back on their feet again. The other reason why I let a little bit of time pass is to give the patient an opportunity to find out about the operation and make sure it's the right one for them. Bear in mind, this is a functional operation. The point of this operation is to get rid of your ileostomy. And you don't have to have the surgery if you don't want. Usually I'll bring the patient back at 6 weeks or 3 months and start the discussion about an ileoanal pouch procedure. And then over the next few months, I'll give them a bit more information. I often send them home with a little 40-page book that we have about the operation itself so they can read it up and really get to know it inside out. And I'll often get them to meet another one of my patients who's had this type of surgery so they can actually talk to someone who's been through the same thing. So what sort of information do I give the patient? Well, I spend a lot of time talking about their likely post-operative function. And at the end of the day, really having an ileoanal pouch anastomosis is not the same as having a rectum. You've got liquid stool coming into this ileoanal pouch. Often you're going to have a higher frequency of bowel action than you would have had before you had your colitis. So the average person may go 6 or 8 times a day. Most of the patients that I've seen have fairly good control and can hold on for a little while when they feel they have to go. But the frequency of action is a big deal. And I usually say, well, if you work in an office where you're close to the bathroom, going to the bathroom 6 or 8 times a day isn't a big deal. But if you have a job where you're not really close to a bathroom and you can't go all the time, that may be an issue for you and you might prefer to stick with your ileostomy instead. The other issue, which I mentioned in a previous podcast, is that pouch surgery decreases a woman's fertility by about 50%. So your patient may like to consider putting the pouch surgery off, having a family, and then getting the pouch done later on down the road. So what about planning the operation out? What are the different options? You do it in one stage, 2 stages or 3 stages. We sometimes do it as a one-stage operation in a patient who's well and who's off medications, and we do a proctocolectomy, we remove the colon and the rectum, and then make an ileoanal pouch and join it all up, and you're done. It's all done in one day, in one operation, and it can take maybe 5 or 6 hours. The main risk of doing it like this in one stage is an anastomotic leak, because the pouch is in action right away and the contents of the small bowel are coming through the pouch pretty much immediately after the surgery. So to avoid that, some people do the operation in 2 stages. So they'll do a proctocolectomy, they'll make the pouch, and then they'll do a loop ileostomy to protect the pouch and the anastomosis, let it heal for a few weeks, then get a contrast study to make sure that it's not leaking, and then put the loop ileostomy in as a second procedure. I often find that I end up doing the operation in 3 steps because the first operation is when the patient is sick and on steroids, and I don't really want to do a complicated operation at that point. So I do a simple, safe total abdominal colectomy as operation number 1. Then I come back, I remove the rectum and I make the ileoanal pouch, giving the patient a loop ileostomy to protect it as operation number 2. And then I come back to do a small operation number 3 to close the loop ileostomy after I've done a contrast study to make sure the pouch isn't leaking. So that's 1 step. 2 step, 3 steps. So what's it like in the OR? In the case where somebody's had a previous colectomy, we reopen the old wound, take down all the adhesions and free up all of the small bowel. We need as much length as possible to get down to the pelvic floor. Then we mobilise the ileostomy from where it is in the abdominal wall and bring it back into the abdomen. Then we'll do our proctectomy part of the operation. And we'll take the rectum out. And we tend to stay a bit further forward on the Mesorete than you would if you were doing a cancer operation, because you want to preserve the hypogastric nerves and the nervi arrugantes. We'll go right down to the bottom of the rectum and fire a stapler across the junction between the rectum and the anal canal. And then we take our small bowel, and we've got a number of manoeuvres to lengthen it out so we can reach all the way to the pelvic floor. So we mobilise the small bowel mesentery up as far as the uncinate process of the pancreas. We'll often divide the ileocolic artery to give us a bit more length. We may end up scoring or making a diamond-shaped incision on the small bowel mesentery too. We try and pick the most dependent part of the terminal ileum to bring down to make the pouch. And if the pouch reaches past the pubis, typically it'll stretch all the way to the pelvic floor. So then we turn the small bowel back on itself in a kind of a J shape, and that's what we make our pouch with. And then we make a circular staple anastomosis between the bottom of the ileal pouch and the top of the anal canal. And I usually finish up by making a loop ileostomy to protect the pouch. And then we're done. I find the post-operative recovery from patients who have had pouch surgery is generally smoother than those who have had a colectomy, because they're not sick at the time of surgery and because not on steroids, for instance. Their discharge is usually quite rapid, and they don't need additional ileostomy training because they're used to having an end ileostomy after their first surgery. And I'll bring them back in about 6 weeks. I'll get a water-soluble contrast study of the ileoanal pouch, and if it looks good, I'll bring them back to close loop ileostomy at that point. Once the ileostomy is closed again, the pouch starts working. And the function of the pouch can be quite irregular and unpredictable for the first few days, but then it generally settles into a pattern, and I'll see the patients back at about 6 weeks after the closure of stoma, and I usually ask them, what's your magic number? By which I mean, how many times do you go to the bathroom in a 24-hour period? I find the majority of patients tell me it's somewhere between 6 times and 8 times. Maybe 10 or 15% tell me it's less than that, like it's only 2 or 3 times. Almost nobody goes once or twice in the day. And maybe up to 25% go more than 6 or 8 times. Maybe they go 10 or 12 times a day, which can be quite troubling. If that's the case, we can use some medications to slow things down. We can use codeine or Lomotil, Imodium sometimes can bring the frequency of pouch action down. The other thing is sometimes I prescribe fibre, and that'll slow things down as well sometimes. I don't just ask about the magic number, I also ask about urgency. So when they get the urge, how long can they hold on for? And I ask about control as well. The stool tends to be fairly liquid for the first few months after the surgery, and then slowly after that it starts to firm up and often ends up a kind of a toothpaste consistency. And things tend to get better over the first year or two. So somebody who's going 10 times a day with a lot of urgency immediately after their stoma gets closed will often be going 5 or 6 times a day with better control, say a year later. I know my patients tell me it varies a lot with what they eat and when they eat it. I've got some patients who avoid eating in the evening so the pouch doesn't work during the night when they're asleep. I've got other patients who like to avoid spicy foods or fatty foods because they often come out of the pouch kind of undigested. I do have a couple of patients where I think the pouch function is pretty poor. They're going 15 or 20 times a day despite being on maximal medication. They're having trouble maintaining their weight, and they may in fact be having trouble sleeping too because they're going so often during the night. And in those cases, I would offer the patient the option of going back to a permanent ileostomy. Because from my point of view, having a permanent ileostomy might be better than going to the bathroom so often. Patient's point of view is often quite different though, and I've never had a single patient actually take me up on that offer yet. Having an ileostomy is an option, but it's not an attractive one. At least the patients that I've got, most of them would rather carry on and live with the pouch, even when the function is what I would consider fairly poor. So, let's finish up by thinking about long-term care of patients who've had an ileoanal pouch. I generally see them every 3 to 6 months for the first year or two, and after that we meet up once a year. This is just to kind of check in with them, see how they're doing, see what their magic number is, see what medications they're on, see what their weight is like. Really, I'm looking out for patients who are getting into trouble with pouchitis. This is a complication we don't understand very well. We think it's largely inflammation perhaps due to a bacterial overgrowth in the pouch characterized by diarrhea and pain on defecation. Usually we treat patients like that with antibiotics, sometimes probiotic bacteria, with fairly good effect. Other complications include fistula formation, sometimes between the pouch and the vagina in a woman, and occasionally a stricture at the pouch anal anastomosis. I've seen a few cases of what I call cuffitis. Even though we think we take out the whole rectum, there's always a little bit of rectal mucosa left behind, and this typically regenerates, and there's a tiny little cuff of rectal mucosa which is present at the top of the anal canal. This can get inflamed from time to time, and it'll bleed from time to time as well, and it responds fairly well to treatment with anti-inflammatory suppositories and enemas sometimes. The other reason why I like to follow up with my patients is because there is still a very small cancer risk after ileoanal pouch surgery. Again, we think it's because there's a little tiny piece of retained rectal mucosa there, just at the junction between the pouch and the anal canal. And I like to put a scope into the pouch every 18 months or maybe 2 years just to check to make sure nothing is happening with that. The risk is very low, and I've yet to see a rectal cancer arise in association with the anal pouch, but I keep on looking anyway. So, let's summarise. What are the key things you need to know about the ileoanal pouch procedure? Remember, it's only really for patients who have ulcerative colitis, it doesn't work well, and Crohn's disease. The purpose of the operation is functional, and the point is for the patient to get rid of their ileostomy. There's a number of different names for the procedure: the ileoanal pouch anastomosis, the restorative proctocolectomy, and the J pouch. You want your patient to be in good condition for the surgery, off all of their immunosuppressive medications, and you want them to be well informed about the surgery and its likely outcomes. Don't forget to mention frequency, urgency, and the effect on fertility. At the operation, we remove the rectum and replace it with a J pouch made from the terminal ileum, which is joined to the anal canal. It can be done in one stage, two stages, or three stages. After the operation, ask about the magic number, which is how often the patient goes to the bathroom. The most common answer you get will be between 6 and 8 times a day. Don't forget about long-term follow-up. Think about pouchitis, think about cuffitis, think about the very low cancer risk. That concludes this week's episode, and it concludes our short series on inflammatory bowel disease. I've really enjoyed making these episodes along with Dr. Bistritz. I've trained for a long time to do surgery on inflammatory bowel disease, and it's a major part of my practice. Caring for patients with inflammatory bowel disease can be challenging sometimes, but it's also very rewarding. I've had a lot of fun making these episodes, and I hope you've listened and learned something useful. As usual, please visit us on surgery101.org and use the Surgery 101 network to get in touch, to request new episodes, or to submit your own learning resources. We're going to have a few video episodes over Christmas and the New Year period, and then we'll return in 2013 with another set of new episodes. So, thanks for listening, Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year, and we'll see you back here next year on Surgery 101.